Everybody, welcome back to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. My name is Jeremy. I'll be hosting the conversation today, but just in the intro. So once we get into it, you're going to hear a number of other voices, a webinar actually that we got a chance to do recently that I think is so helpful. I'm really excited just to be able to offer that to you all on this particular format. But so you know, it was a Zoom webinar. So there'll be, people are kind of showing slides or they're talking about things. This was live that we could see and interact with folks that way. But I think it's still going to work really well over the podcast medium. Now, to introduce what this is all about, I've got Rolf, who you will hear in a moment from the webinar. Rolf, you're with an organization called Power to Change, and some of our volunteers may not realize, but this organization that you're a part of has got ministries on university campuses across our country of Canada. And so with this whole idea of we send students from our youth groups and they go on to the next thing. Sometimes it means they're on university campuses, and you guys do such a great job of trying to continue the faith journey of supporting students in that regard. Mm-hmm. So you kind of pulled together this webinar, fill people in. How did this come to be? What is it that we're about to listen to? What should we be kind of cued in for as we're listening to the conversation?
Yeah. I mean, you'll hear a lot more during the webinar, but I think it's just really a coming together of kind of unique passions. And that's why it's a really neat partnership that we've had and that able to have the call with you guys kind of leading youth leaders in the church context with Alpha Youth, like helping students be on mission, and then us on the campus ministry. And I think we were recognizing just in ourselves, we need to do a better job of welcoming students as they head off to post-secondary, to even meet them before they come. And I think that's the heart of every youth leader too, right? As you work with these young adults, and many of them change context significantly as they move into post-secondary. And sadly, some of the statistics really do play out. And we've seen that with some of the students, right? As they leave your youth group, they also in some ways kind of check out of the faith if they don't land in a great Christian community. And so kind of wanting to lean in that space of how do we send these young adults to continue to be on mission and to thrive, to be resilient disciples of Jesus for the long run? That's kind of the big question. And then, so it was great. Like, we brought in a number of different people who've been doing some incredible work in the field. We're hearing from actually a few students directly of some of their experience as they transitioned to post-secondary, what was helpful. And they're kind of giving advice to, those folks who are in that transition right away. Then we get to hear from Sid himself, as he kind of outlines even some of the research that came out from a former study, the hemorrhaging faith, to the renegotiating faith study, and hearing just about the power that, you know, as we kind of connect some of these students with some mentors who could be with them for the journey, you can actually see what the research is saying, that they're 4 times more likely to stay connected into Christian community. So I think there's a ton of really great stuff here, and it's pretty action-packed. We're bouncing back and forth between some different people that we brought into the conversation. There's also some really great practical tips and resources, like, you know, some mentorship cards, some ways to actually like help your student find out what university they're going and actually sign up to actually be introduced and met by local workers and by students that are there. So I think I'm pumped that this conversation finally did come together, and I'm excited that you get to listen to it today.
Yeah, for sure. So anybody that is listening, if you do have some stories from your own context, your own ministry, where you're like, oh yeah, we've sent some students out of our youth group and you know, great things happen from that, we would actually love to hear from you, and Rolf would love to hear from you. So we've got lots of ways to stay connected in the show notes fire us a note, an email, and we would love to celebrate that with you and maybe even feature that story in the future. And then ultimately, you know, this is what we hope happens. Students graduate from our ministry and they continue to follow Jesus. And so we've got some ideas for you. And no matter what stage of ministry you're in, we really think that there'll be some great ideas, some tools, some thoughts for you to take for your own context. So let's jump into today's conversation from this webinar with a bunch of different voices you get a chance to hear. Let's jump in.
Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Yeah, Tim and I are pumped to have you guys here with us. Thought we'd just do some quick introductions, share kind of where we're headed. So my name is Rolf Nanninga, serve with Power to Change. I get to serve alongside, I think there's about 150 different staffers with Power to Change across Canada, and serving here out of Hamilton. Some would affectionately call Hamilton the armpit of Ontario. I would like to call it the waterfall capital, and it's a beautiful place. Thankful to serve here. It's also just many Indigenous communities have also made their home here, and so it's prospered. It's been a beautiful land. We're thankful to be here. So, yeah, I don't know. By way of show of hands, how many of you have heard of Power to Change? Just kind of in a nutshell. I realize some of our youth leaders maybe have not, if they've gone to kind of a Christian school or something, that maybe haven't had that hands-on experience of what kind of going to a secular university is like. But it's such a natural fit to be working together with folks like the youth worker community and with Tim at Alpha, just seeking to help students be on mission. Power to Change, we talk a lot about helping students take their next step towards Jesus. And that's why, yeah, it's partnering has been such a good fit. Tim, why don't you tell us a little bit about Alpha? Oh, and I think I was going to mention too, heard about, I know that you were celebrating this year, seeing that Alpha, I don't know if some of the rest of you guys have known, there's been actually 11, am I understanding right? 1,100 different Alpha kind of iterations across Canada that you guys are celebrating this year. So pumped.
Yeah, Youth Alpha specifically last year. And the one that I got really excited about, which was, we had no idea, was there's 400 campus Alphas that ran last year as well, which is really rad. So yeah, we're really excited to be here and partner with Power to Change, Youth Worker Community. This is such an important topic, friends. And we're going to jump into some, we think some really pivotal conversations that's been going on for a while. You know, we've got some great experts here that are going to share some thoughts and ideas, but we just thought this is such an important and crucial conversation right now in this moment as we prepare for the fall. How do we come to a place where we really think about sending our students as they graduate from high school rather than losing them? And so we're going to have a bunch of guests sharing. We've got some stories. Hopefully you'll walk away with some practical iterations, but we're really excited to jump into the conversation. Ralph?
Yeah, I think we'd like to just actually take a start and actually hearing from a current student who has been kind of 2 years into the transition. I think my experience sometimes when I talk to like high school teachers or the youth, if you can ever get an alumni to kind of come back and share kind of the challenges, what's happened, just so powerful. And so we thought we'd actually kick things off having that little story. So I don't know, Anton, can we cue up just hearing from Olivia? Olivia's second year at York University right now, and she talks a little bit about her journey, her experience. Looking back.
Hi, my name is Olivia, and today I'll be talking about challenges before and during the pandemic, as well as finding.
Anton, I don't see her face for some reason.
A little background on me. I'm a third year student at York University, majoring in biomedical science and minoring in French studies. I grew up in the church and have been going to the same church my whole life, but it wasn't until the end of elementary school when I decided to fully surrender my life to Jesus and start a relationship with him. Entering university in 2019, I'd heard many stories of young Christians losing their faith as they went into university. I've actually encountered many who have had that experience, and some still haven't turned back. When I was in grade 12, a friend from church who was attending Queen's University at the time told me about Power to Change, a Christian club that focuses on helping students in university take their next steps towards Jesus. She encouraged me to go to Power to Change at York. And in November of my first year, I started to go to the weekly meetings with my sister, who also goes to York. She's only a year older than me, so I was really blessed to be able to have her with me. That semester, we had a different speaker come in each week. Some were pastors, missionaries, or simply in ministry. The staff and students were very welcoming, and I truly felt at home when I was there. I have to say that it helps to have someone with you when you try new things. Not everyone has a sibling or a friend who can join them as they explore a Christian community. But even if you don't have anyone, I really encourage you to go anyway and trust that you'll be okay when you're there. The biggest mistake you can make is to ditch your faith. University is not the time to walk away from God and his people. Rather, it's the time to expand your Christian circle or to build one if you don't have one already. Learning about how other Christians worship and their spiritual habits has helped me have a deeper understanding of how God loves us and how Christian communities are built. There's diversity, but there's also unity in the family of God, and I think that's a beautiful thing. In terms of practical steps to take, I would suggest aiming to find a Christian club on your campus and go to one meeting. You could go to more in the future, but just start with one and then work your way up. In terms of challenges before and during the pandemic, some are the same and some have changed. Making friends is fun, but it can be extremely exhausting and even nerve-wracking for some. I attended Frosh Week during my first year, and if you're a parent, you're probably making a face right now, but I assure you, it's not a bad thing. I'm not sure about other schools, but for York, the Frosh activities are really focused on making friends, so there's no crazy partying or anything like that. I remember there was a paint night, karaoke, a boat cruise downtown. We went to Center Island for a day. And of course, there was a campus tour. So lots of social activities for introverts and extroverts. I really loved my experience. So for the past year, past 2 years, I was a frosh leader. In 2020, it was fully online. And in 2021, it was partially in person and partially online. It broke my heart to see so many students missing out on a full frosh experience. So if that's available to you this year, I strongly encourage you to go. Meeting people at frosh made it easier to find lab partners or study partners later in the year. So parents listening in, I suggest that you talk to your child beforehand about acceptable behavior and set expectations so that they're making good choices. But I think that it's something that every university student should be a part of. I would say that the social aspect of the pandemic was a challenge for me. Before the pandemic, it was relatively easy to find resources on campus, and getting extra help from profs wasn't a struggle. And the atmosphere was positive overall, but staring at a computer screen with only the teacher visible and not knowing who's in your classes isn't fun. And I can only imagine how parents must have felt seeing their children being robbed of their high school and university experience. Human connection is important. And when you don't see people around you taking notes and listening intently, you really don't have that much motivation. Students were not designed to journey alone. You know, like the conversations between classes, the bumping into people from time to time, the introducing your biology classmates to your chemistry classmates, that's what school is all about. And it really just starts with one person. So you don't need to be friends with everyone in your program. Just focus on making one friend and work your way up. The main challenge for me when I first started university was juggling expectations in terms of academics. I'm a science student, and in high school, you can definitely feel that competitive energy in certain classes. In university, I found that everyone seemed to want the best for their peers, and there wasn't anyone fighting to be at the top. The only competition was me against myself, and I wasn't prepared to have my marks drop so low. Nobody told me how hard it would be to get an A in university, and I learned that I can only do my best. I can't physically give more than 100%, so I can't be hard on myself if I give it my all. It sounds simple, but really, your best is the best you can give. As things are starting to clear up, and I'm hopeful for the incoming university students, I've learned to make every day as memorable as possible. When there's the option to go home early or stay for an extra hour to see a friend, I'll stay at school because I want to enjoy every moment I have with people. I find that I have a deeper appreciation for the little things because I know what it feels like to be stuck in my room for weeks on end. In some regards, being online can be an advantage. For example, it completely cuts out commuting to school. But overall, I would say that being online instead of in person was a big challenge for me. At the end of the day, when you do have a sense of community, it makes everything easier. Because even if what you're doing is difficult, at least you're not doing it alone. And it takes time and patience to build your community, but it doesn't even have to be a ton of people at once. You can just start with one. So thank you for listening to me. I hope you all take something away from this event, and I pray God's blessings over each and every single one of you. Bye.
Super thankful for Olivia to share her story. We actually ran an event at a local church and she gave her permission. She sent in the video and gave her permission that we could share with others. So if that's helpful, if you can't get any students live at your youth group, maybe let Anton or I know. We do have, we've been able to capture footage of a number of different student stories. So would love to supply that for you. Tim, I'd love, I don't know if you wanted to share a little bit more, kind of the backdrop and kind of even some of the preface of us kind of working together to put on this webinar, and just why you kind of felt this conversation, you know, really sending students and shepherding through the transition, why it's so important.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you know, as we have kind of looked at the last 2 years at Alpha, we've been really passionate to really understand the state of evangelism, really passionate to understand how students are viewing mission. And one thing is for sure that we're seeing in Gen Z is that they are a passionate generation that wants to change the world. You know, you can't scroll Twitter or Instagram these days or TikTok and not see a passionate student advocating for some sort of social issue. And so we see a generation rising up that wants to do something meaningful with their lives. You've got them in your youth group, you've got them in your churches, and they want to do something. And so as they're transitioning out of high school, they're not wanting just to kind of flounder around. There seems to be a desire to make a difference in the world. And yet the other side of things is that we see a huge gap that we've been noticing and trending for a long time already, is that so many students, when they graduate high school, end up, you know, quote unquote, leaving the church. church, or when they graduate from youth ministry, they graduate from church. And this has been a sad but real trend for so many years. And so here we see this gap of passionate students wanting to make a difference in the world and potentially in the kingdom, but many of them are in a place where they're dropping off the cliff after high school. And so the team at Power to Change, and I know this has been a huge passion of youth worker community and ourselves at Alpha, we're just ruthlessly committed to trying to find a way to fill that gap and to by giving opportunities for students to be sent on mission. And I'll just say this in closing is that we also noticed that many young people today are still lacking in training and lacking in a vision of what it actually looks like to be sent. And so that's all we're doing here today is we're trying to re-inspire you with maybe a new narrative of what it looks like to train, equip, and inspire young people as they graduate high school to view post-secondary in a bit of a different light and with a different story in their mind. And so that's why we're here today.
Maybe just to build off that. I actually just started helping. And so Power to Change students has this next initiative where I just started helping a couple of years ago. But I think, you know, what Tim's saying, like reading just some of the statistics of like hemorrhaging faith, I just put the link there on the, and Anton, if it works, if you could just put the link to the renegotiating faith, a kind of a follow-up study sharing how people are leaving the church, but also giving some advice and some tools for us. And just realizing that both, I think, youth workers, but also us kind of on the campus context, it talks about like only like 2 in 10 youth workers actually have a plan to help make some of those connections. And I don't know if you remember from the AHA game, those of you who were there at the beginning, but if connections can be made by the community, students are actually 4 times more likely to get connected. So I feel like there's just a huge opportunity for us to be able to do this. And I know, Sid, this is a huge heart of yours as well. Maybe you can just share kind of some of your thoughts. Like, why do you see the transition to be so important?
Well, Anton, you know, you talk about the research, and the research thing about data is data, you guys, when you do research, rarely tells practitioners something new, but it clears fog, makes things like, really allows us to really focus and hold us accountable. So, you know, when we did the renegotiating faith trans project, the stat that probably kind of shocked me and stood out the most was the idea that if a young person who was attending church in high school did not have a mentor and they moved to another community and onto a campus, that if they didn't have a mentor before they made that transition, that 1 year later, only about 15% of those students were still attending church regularly. And just to be clear, you guys, you know, most of the research that we've looked at, and I was talking to Rick Heemstra, who is probably one of our best researchers in our country, he would just say that without church affiliation, it's pretty rare that you see faith affiliation carry on for a young adult. So there's something connected between the activity of attending and the actual, you know, personal engagement. But here's the other thing that we found. We found that if a young person did have a mentor, in their local context, and then that mentor actually helped them engage a new community of faith before the end of September in the new environment that they went to, that number jumped from 15% to around 75% engaged in church weekly 1 year later. Here's the aha, you guys. Here's the aha. As a youth pastor, I would have my mentors or small group leaders, you know, lead their group all the way up till like June of their grade 12 year. That was a win for me. And then I would ask them to take a break, and they take a break. And I'd say in September, maybe come back and help with grade 9. You know what I mean? Let's restart there. Here's the point. I think as leaders, the research told me this, or at least this is what I took from it, that if we would actually take that leader and kind of give them some direction and some ways to remain relationally engaged with that young person for the next 3 months, July, August, September, and then actually help, you know, them make that shift even relationally into that new context, that those 3 months may have a greater long-term impact on the faith of that young person than perhaps the previous 3 years. Like, think about that for a second. And then if I think about that, Rolf, and I look at the stat you just said, we're only around 20% of ministries in Canada have an actual plan for that transition, you know, that 3 month movement. Yeah. It, for me, that cleared away fog and made me get really hyper-focused and say, hey, you know, a little work here could actually make a very significant difference. And, You know, one of the things we found out about mentors when we did the research project, again, mentors play a lot of different roles, but one of the roles they play is that of a prophetic voice in the life of a young person. We actually have the chance to see God at work where they don't necessarily see God at work, and share for them a vision that God may have for their lives. And I think the point was this: kids will always find a voice that's giving them direction for the future. They're always going to find it, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a YouTube influencer. And we don't say that as a joke. That's real. The research tells us that has a significant voice, et cetera, et cetera. But we as youth workers actually have a chance to be the loudest voice next to family. The loudest prophetic voice in the life of that young person. And if we would engage, especially in this time, with that vision for what's next at this most important season of transition for them, do you know what I mean? As they move from adolescence towards adulthood, you guys, our role is so significant and so powerful. And I guess my prayer is that, you know, God would continue to move in us and convict us to stay in it, you know, even if it's just for those next 3 months. And steward this incredible calling that God has given us in the lives of the young people that he's placed in our care. And that 3 month investment, legitimately, the research tells us, can make a lifelong impact. And so pretty passionate about the journey. Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm pumped. Actually, later we'll hear a little bit more of a story of Hartley's similar kind of conclusion, that it's more than just like the introduction and it's done, but continuing on into those 3 months. Like, yeah, he did that in this last year and just saw a world of difference, and actually the impact and the longevity, the resilience of the students he had. So cool. Well, hey, we're going to switch things up a little bit. I forgot to tell you this at the front end. Hope you're okay with doing a little breakout. We thought we'd just have a few minutes to kind of break things up a little bit and actually maybe get in a way to get to know each other briefly. And so we'll have kind of one right now and then one towards the end. So right now we're just thinking of asking, like, hey, in your context, what's been kind of a challenge and a win in this idea of shepherding your students? So what's kind of the first thing that comes to mind in terms of challenge and a win in your context of trying to send and not lose students? So Anton, if that works, there'll just be about two others. So maybe just do your name. We won't have time for a long introduction. We just have about 3 minutes for this. So just briefly, what's been challenge and a win? Hopefully that was good. You'll have a chance to say hello to people again in a little bit, 20 minutes or so, just to kind of say hi. We're going to do some rapid kind of story time, hearing from kind of four different contexts. And so first we have Hartley. Hartley, been pumped. I know it was fun. I think some of the first discussions I had is when we had Heart of Change of starting this whole scholarship process, and I was asking for your advice and picking your brain on it. And then I feel like the light bulb went off in your head. It's like, well, if you guys are kind of building a scholarship to kind of help instigate kind of discipleship conversations for these kids and helping them practically by going off, hey, I'm a mission sending church. Why don't we do something like that? So Hartley, maybe you could just briefly share with us kind of from idea to program a couple of things that you've learned on the way and the impact, I guess, in terms of seeing your church have a better mindset of sending.
Well, thanks, Rolf. This is a privilege to be on here, guys. We are learning and we are growing. This has been the first year we've been doing it, and I'd love to share with you guys. Obviously, we've seen that, you know, kids, when they graduate high school, are walking away from the church. And so two things that for me were really important that we instilled in our young people was this idea of have a sent mentality. That what I've seen in my ministry and a lot of other youth pastors that I've spoken to is that those kids who have already engaged in mission before they graduated, those are the kids that we're okay with, like we're confident in, because they've seen, you know, the this transfer of like head knowledge into actually experiencing the Holy Spirit working through them and in them and in the people's lives around them. And so, you know, thinking through what is my mission strategy for my youth group before they graduate, but how can we really instill this sent mentality that they're actually going, believing that they're missionaries going to their campus. It's not just an educational endeavor. So that was one piece of how do we make a sent culture? And the second piece was just from renegotiating faith that students who find Christian community within the first 30 days are 70% more likely. Is that correct? And so how can we have a sent culture and how can we make sure our kids are connecting with Christian community on campus in the first 30 days? Those are my two priorities. A few years ago, I found out where all our students are going. I reached out to all Power Change campus, you know, ministries of all those schools and said, hey, I have students going with you. Can we set up a Zoom call? This was, I think, the beginning of COVID. Can we set up a Zoom call? And can we, can you have one of your students and me and one of my students be there? So we did that. But none of those students really got connected with Tighter Change, which was interesting. So we had, we had that initial conversation, introduction. I encouraged our students, we said, hey, have a great time at university, really get connected. You've already met them. It didn't really go anywhere, which is pretty discouraging. So it started a conversation around how can we build accountability into them actually getting connected. Within our church, we were just saying, well, we believe that our students are missionaries. Why don't we just make them missionaries of our church? Like, that was the conversation. I went to our missions pastor and I said, can they be missionaries of our church, at least within their first year? And can we actually, just like any one of our other missionaries, can we financially support them? Can we spiritually support them within their first year? And my missions pastor, she loved it. And so we kind of started building this out of saying, okay, if they're missionaries, what are they, responsible for? What are we calling them to do? And so we didn't want to overload the schedule because of the stress of first year. And so we said, all we're asking you to do as a post-secondary missionary in our church is to get involved with the Christian Club on campus. And secondly, was to commit yourself to the spiritual care of our church. And so basically what that meant was one monthly gathering on Zoom of all the missionaries together. We're just going to connect together for an hour and pray together. So literally we're saying, all we're asking you to do is to be a Christian in your school and get involved in community on your campus. And that was it. And so we just said, if you love Jesus, and if you are open, you don't even have to be all there in your faith yet. If you're open, we would love for you to apply. So we had an application, we had a interview process and a commissioning. And we sent them out as missionaries of our church. I mean, actually right now I'm at a retreat where we bring all of our missionaries up north, and they're actually at it right now with all of our other missionaries of our church, which is really unique. But that was kind of the thought process around it. We said, we believe that they're missionaries, so let's make them missionaries. And so we as a church commit to supporting, giving them honorariums, $500 per semester for the first semester. And then we're committed to their spiritual care as well as we connect once a month. And so some of our goals of this program was, first of all, can we see them continue on their faith, but not just, survive, but actually thrive? Like, are they engaging in mission? How are they thinking about, the kingdom of God coming into their campus and the students they're interacting with? And secondly, another issue was when students leave our church uniquely, I don't know if it's just unique to our church, but they don't come back to our church. They just stop coming I'm at the People's Church in Toronto. They just stop coming. Because of that, year after year, we have this huge gap of young adults within our church. And so we said, if they're missionaries of our church, in some sense, there'll be this loyalty to us. And obviously, that wasn't like, it's People's Church or nothing. We believe in the church no matter where they're going. But what we've seen is the students have come back. They're engaging and serving in other parts of our church. There's this loyalty to our church, which has been really, really cool. That's a little bit about the program. That we love started. We're hesitant to say program because we don't want them to know that there's a beginning and end. You're a missionary with us formally for a year, but we're just hoping that you continue in mission as you engage in Christian community on your campus. So that's kind of what we've started this year.
Oh, thanks a ton, Harley. Yeah, really appreciate you sharing that. And I hope it's okay. I just threw your email in there and mine as well. Harley's been really gracious to kind of share some of his thinkings and learnings in that way. So all right, man. Should we do rapid fire? Keep going.
I just wanted to highlight a couple things because I don't want this moment to pass by, because what Hartley's doing is, I really do feel is, I don't know if we're allowed to use this word, but it's radical. It feels like it's something really cool. And I wanted to just highlight, because you said it so fast, Hartley, but there's a couple things that are so important to me in this process. One is that sent culture early on. If you all of a sudden start to tell your grade 12 student, hey, you're being sent now, but they've never talked about that in the last few years in your youth ministry, that's going to feel like a different language to them. Two is, I love the way that you've onboarded this whole church aspect of this. The fact that, guys, he's got global missionaries at a retreat and he's got a bunch of campus university students there at the same time. I mean, that to me is so beautiful, such a kingdom thing. And the other thing is kind of putting your money where your mouth is too. And it's not about the $500, but I think it does actually say something when we can invest into this idea of missionaries in universities. And I just want to commend you, Hartley. I think this, friends, I don't want to be so bold to say this is the plan, but I think if we can do something like this in our churches, we can really begin to make waves both in our universities, but also in our churches to reshape what it looks like to be a missionary inside of our churches. So I want to commend you, Hartley. I'm a huge fan of this, and I just think it's so inspiring.
Tim, I feel like this really leads well into maybe just Jonathan, who I think has a similar mindset and building out of the 604 network. Did you want to just maybe, and I know we're,
I'll throw that over here,
but maybe just a couple minutes, Jonathan, if you want to briefly.
I'll throw into that. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we've got Jonathan. For those of you guys who don't know, he is a pastor at Every Nation Church in Vancouver. He's also been leading what's called the 604 Network in Vancouver for many, many years. Probably close to 50 to 60 years. And he's been such a great friend. But recently, Jonathan has been scheming with a similar idea to the Next Step Scholarship Program called the Impact Award. And it's a similar idea of investing into graduating students to be missionaries in their university. And one thing I love about Jonathan is that this idea has come from the depths of his church's philosophy as a church. It's not just a random idea. They do it themselves as a church. And it's been something that he has done himself. And so it's been something that has kind of grown over time. But first off, Jonathan, just maybe first throw to you, you know, why is it so important that we lean into this conversation of transition, of the transition period of this period of students' lives as they graduate? Why this topic? Why has this been passionate for you?
Yeah, great question. I think that, I was going to make a request. Next time we do one of these, can I go like before Hartley? Because he always says everything better than I do. And then I was like, why am I even here, man? Like, let's just put Hartley.
It's not true.
I was like, oh, come on, again? I go after Hartley again? Honestly, he did really say it well. I think that one of the big experiments in our little youth pastors network here in Vancouver is is ascending mentality one of the things that's going to traverse the students over this gap? I really think that, you know, we have a context in most churches for sending people to, on the other side of the planet as a missionary. Yeah. And I don't know about you guys, but in our missionaries, when they come home, they're like more connected and love the church more than the people who were there for those 5 years in between every Sunday.
Wow.
So I just think that there's a deeply connective idea behind being sent from a place. And I think it's an underexplored thing for 18-year-olds that they could be sent by their local church. I mean, I just really care about the chasm, the trench that currently exists, unfortunately. It's why we're all on this call that exists afterwards. And I just feel like the sending part is a deeply unexplored piece of what of what could be possible for a student.
Totally.
I think the Spirit can work through them. So that's why I'm passionate about particularly the youth mobilization piece, both in youth and then how that continues on in university.
And on that same topic, I know for you, we've talked about this 1,000 times, and I know there's actually a bit of a secret agenda in terms of how it's going to impact youth ministries. Talk a little bit about, maybe secret agenda is a little bit too, kind of a weird statement, but but talk a little bit about what you think, how this will impact youth groups if all of a sudden they have this descending mentality. Yeah. What does it change for grades 8 to 12 now?
Yeah, well, I mean, so what the 604 Network is trying to do is basically have a bunch of churches that are doing what Hartley's doing. And what we were doing is, there's a donor who's letting us have youth pastors apply for funding to send a youth missionary from their local church. And so what the hope is that, I don't know how we always use the term unicorn, but right now every youth group still got that unicorn kid who, I don't know, their parents are just amazing. And they're the ones who are like, I don't know, they lead all this stuff. And you have that rock star. And what we've been talking about is going, okay, cool. That's amazing. Like God still gives us that fruit, but not to be cynical, but that sort of student is actually less and less frequent, which is a little bit alarming. And so the idea is, how do we have that student become more normal 10 years from now?
Wow.
How does that become the norm 10 years from now? So for me, I'm just really passionate about not skipping the local church in this. And youth pastors have to actually embody this and deeply care about it. And you see the way that Hartley is deeply strategic about this, because it's like, why would I spend 5 years pouring my heart into these kids only to see them leave? Like, it makes very logical sense where Hartley's actually waiting his time, for the future trajectory of their whole lives, right? And so the idea is, you know, could we actually give youth pastors a tool to not like solve the problem with money, but perhaps there's a way of inspiring youth groups to be thinking about sending by having the unicorn student be empowered to really exemplify that. But where the vision really lies is in the youth pastor going, I'm going to keep doing this. And I actually don't need impact award funding to have it happen. I mean,
right.
That's just a catalytic to start. Like, I hope that we don't need donors to do this. I hope local churches eventually go, hey, I'm going to siphon off $2,000 every year to send an influencing kind of student so that that flavor affects the whole youth ministry so that not everyone has to be sent as a missionary. It's like, no, this is normal. This is normal. It's normal to consider being sent out of youth ministry. And then if youth pastors are going, hey, the point of my whole thing is to send them in 5 years, that dramatically might shape the way in which you think about the 5 years that you have them, which takes a lot of faith. I get it. It takes tons of faith, but that's our job, I think.
I love it. I love it. So good, Jonathan. Well, you guys can find out more by clicking on the 604 Network. If you want to grab time with either Hartley or with Jonathan, they're really open to talk more about what this looks like. But really grateful for the work that you're doing, Jonathan. Thanks so much.
You bet.
Rolf.
Yeah, I think it's been really encouraging taking a look at another city. So Andrew would love to just, I think Andrew and Ashley just going to share a little bit about the process. I think what's really cool is just seeing real working together, not just the network, but churches, campus ministries, just a real sweet harmony in that context. So Andrew would love to kind of hear a little bit from you guys about that.
Sure. Yeah, my name is Andrew and I'm in Calgary, working with Power to Change at U of C and Mount Royal. Ashley, introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'm also in Calgary, but I work at Rock Point Church as the young adult pastor for the past 6 or 7 years. I think the both of us will share together kind of our experience.
Yeah.
And so because in the West, we love naming our networks after our area codes, we have the 403 youth network that's existed for many years here, which has been kind of a partnership between churches that get together a couple times a year for kind of worship rallies, helping students do Alpha in their high schools. And then a couple years ago, Ashley and I, along with staff from InterVarsity, Navigators, University Campus Ministries, and other churches, started kind of a 403 campus side of things. And so we gather students from different groups and churches a few times a year to be able to worship together. To really hear lots of stories from students. We want to get the students to pray with each other, just even to be able to meet people in their faculties, and just the opportunities to go on missions together. And I think as we've talked, one of the big things is we often hear just the negative side about university. But last week I was talking to a student. He's like, oh, I came to faith like through just the love that students showed to me while I was on campus. And as I got to meet people, like I led 3 of my friends to faith. And I'm just like, it's so,
you
need to hear those stories. Yes. And I just think students only hear the negative stories, and we need to create spaces where students can know that university could be a spot where they could grow and that they could make a difference in the lives of the people around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think what sparked this kind of dream to collaborate and extend 403 to the university students for me, I was getting to meet with a lot of different young adults, either just starting their university journey or well into it. And a common theme that kept coming up was like, but I'm the only Christian in my class, or I'm the only Christian in my program. And I remember one particular girl just being so like discouraged. So like, I would be on mission and I would be sent if like I had other people to do it with, but there's no one else. And I just said to her, like, that's a lie. You're wrong. You just don't know the people yet. And so that was kind of, for me, something that God really used to speak to me to help these students, and led to kind of connecting with Andrew and others. Because if we're going to be sending students on mission, they need to not be alone. And so the 403 campus movement was really about sharing stories together as different Christians from different churches and ministries, campus ministries, to know that they're not alone, to be encouraged, and to like start by praying. One of our main focuses has been that connection to a good community. And so something really neat for me has been getting to know like what campus ministries exist, because I think it's easy for churches to kind of exist on their own and campus ministries to exist on their own and not really know each other very well. Mm-hmm. And so it's helped especially to know like some of the students from our church who I originally thought disappeared and maybe left their faith were actually super plugged in to a campus ministry. And so I could like track with them and like cheer them on and say like, don't worry about coming to church right now, because they were just too overwhelmed to do everything. But like, we're here for you when you're done university or whenever you can come. Like we're all one church. We're all in this together. And then vice versa. Like if people come to Andrew or anyone else with campus ministries, they know churches that are close by and like who the leaders are to send them to.
Yeah, a big heart that we have too is just to be able to do mission. And so that's actually where I got first connected with the 403 campus, is I heard that there was all these high school students doing Alpha in their high schools. And I just remember meeting with Brent, who's a part of the 403 like youth side of things. Yeah. And I said, hey, how do we help these students like do this in university? Like they don't necessarily need to get plugged into our group. Like a bunch of them have great places that they can connect. I just want to help them, but like I can book rooms, like we can kind of create this space, even just to know that they're not alone, that they could come together to be able to do this kind of thing. And so, yeah, we really wanted to create an opportunity so that students could do Alpha and just have ministry opportunities to know that they're not alone on campus. So for the last 2 years, we've done Alpha together, like all the different clubs and a couple of different churches. We did it online once and we've done it in person now. And it's been great. We've seen students bring friends. We've seen students lead it from all kind of the different groups to be able to participate. And we've seen students give their lives to Christ, which is really exciting as well.
That's cool.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, did I understand that we're hearing a brief story too from one of the students? Or sorry, did I cut you off, Ashley? Or did you want to say something else?
No, that's okay. I think we have a student story, right, Andrew?
Yeah.
I think just leading into that, it's just been really neat to be able to have that continuing, like with our 403 network and Alpha in high schools. For anyone involved in that, it's such a smooth transition to say, oh, we're doing the same thing in universities. This movement is not just limited to your youth group or your high school. So that's been really encouraging to see too. But yeah, we can share the story.
Hi guys, my name is Gabe and I'm a second year psychology student at the University of Calgary. I also did high school at Holy Trinity Academy and I currently go to First Evangelical Free Church. So I just wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about my experience transitioning from grade 12 to university, specifically regarding my connection to different faith communities. So just for some context, in grade 12, I was connected with Agape, which was a initiative started by my friends Sarah and Abby to connect different Christians in schools across Calgary, different high schools. Basically, they would get people to meet once a month and give them support to start Agape groups in their school. And in Agape groups, like I had one in my own high school, we would meet once a week during lunchtime with different students from the school. We'd go through a video series with different discussion questions. And yeah, that was basically it until the pandemic hit. And when the pandemic hit, obviously we had to restructure because of quarantine. So we started an Agape like Alpha, an online Alpha just for citywide. Everyone from different schools could join. It was mainly high school. We had some junior highs. But yeah, that ran from spring all the way into summer. And then I graduated. And then in the fall, I started my university. So in my first year of university, I wasn't really affiliated with any groups or anything just because, you know, online school and the different circumstances surrounding that. But one of my friends actually did get connected, one of my friends from Agape. He got into Power to Change, which is a Christian club at the U of C campus. And it's available in different campuses as well, like MRU. And basically, they do life groups. They do Impact, which is like a worship service for like everyone at P2C, and that runs Friday afternoons. And yeah, they also do something, they run through summer. So my friend invited me in the summer right after first year, and I got connected that way, got to make friends, and I was attending the Bible studies every week. And then that got me connected to go like into the fall, into the spring. And I've been going to Life Group. I've been a part of Power to Change. And it's been a really good opportunity for me to like make friends in university, which obviously was hard with online school to do like through just my classes. And it's also just given me a space to like grow my faith at university and given me like people would encourage me to do that. And something else that was really cool was that I was able to lead an alpha through Power to Change. This time it was in person. And it was just really great to build my leadership skills and push me out of my comfort zone. And I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't through Power to Change. And it was also supported by 403 Ministries. So if you're at all interested in joining a faith community as you leave grade 12 and enter post-secondary, I highly encourage you to do it. I don't regret it at all. And I honestly wish I had done it in my first year. But yeah, thanks for your time. Hi guys, my name is Gabe.
And that was so good. I'm so glad that we got to have him share, Andrew. That's, and Ashley, that's great. That's neat. Well, Tim, I'll have you pass it over to you.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Andrew and Ashley. That was so encouraging just to see the partnership of churches and Power to Change. And I appreciate as well, Ashley, just your honesty and just saying, hey, like, I didn't know much about Power to Change and some of these ministries, because I, you know, so many of us have felt that too. Yeah. But to see what you guys are doing, and the one thing that just stood out to me is actually two things. Is one is the amount of trust that you and Andrew obviously have for each other. You can tell there's a genuine trust in the network. And friends, these are all amazing initiatives, but I think they're predicated on trust and relationship. And so as you guys have committed to trusting one another, it's going to really build a foundation for mission in a greater way. And the other thing that is really cool just to highlight is I loved how you talked about this journey of high school students then into university. And, you know, I noted that we had over 400 campus alphas that ran last year, and majority, if not all of them, I want to say, are mainly of students that also ran it in high school across Canada. And I just think that's such a beautiful thing. It's not just about them running alpha, but it's about this journey of being missionaries along the way. And so let's continue to steward that and see what God wants to do. So as we wrap up here, we're going to close. We want to really finish on time to honor your guys' time, but I wanted to just invite Brian on behalf of P2C just to quickly highlight a couple key resources. You know, you've heard this idea, we can't just let our students graduate and then they're gone. Maybe you're going to do a full plan like Hartley. But Brian, maybe share two quick resources that Power to Change offers to help youth pastors with this transition.
Yeah, so we run Alpha on multiple campuses across the country. And we want to resource your students, especially students who have led Alpha, who want to take steps of faith. We don't want them to do it alone. So we have staff like myself, who is involved very much in Alpha. We have staff on local campuses like Andrew, who are there and want to run Alpha. They want to equip your student to be on mission, running Alpha among their friends and on their floor in residence. Another thing to consider as you're sending your student off to be a missionary into university, you want to help them to think through some of the major issues that they'll face as they leave. What church are they going to go to? How are they going to deal with finances, negative influences, worldview challenges, relationship struggles? Well, Power to Change has mentorship cards, mentorship resources that are cards that help you lead conversations to get your graduate to be thinking about these things, so they're not overwhelmed when they first encounter it at university, but you can prepare them before they get there.
That's awesome. So the links there, these are discussion questions. And then the one on there, Brian, I think is actually really helpful resources, the Get Connected one. Tell us a little bit about what that link is.
So the Get Connected one, that's that you find out what they want to do. I want to be involved in a Bible study. I want to get connected to a Christian community. I want to lead something and they can fill out their information. And we'll connect them with somebody in their city on their campus who will reach out to them. So someone would say, hey, so glad you want to be here. I want to meet you and connect you with others.
I love that. That's so good. Well, thanks, Brian. Love the work that you and your team are doing. And Ralph, this has been, it's been a whirlwind. It's probably felt like a fire hose. And I know for many of you, this is probably maybe either a new thought or something that, you know, it can feel overwhelming, but we're just kind of, we're trying to build into this narrative. It by no means is complete. We wish we could have spent more time even sharing some ideas. But if you want to get in touch with Ralph or myself, you can do so. Our emails will be on there. But we want to help you do this transition well. We'd love to connect you with some of these other leaders like Andrew and Ashley and Jonathan and Hartley. That would be a real joy for us.
Well, there you have it. That wraps up the webinar. We'll include all the links in the show notes. You can check it out there. And then we'll see you back here next week for another episode of the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast.